for today, the discourse is the Vajragotha Sutta, what Townsend giving from the Anguttara Nikaya, Book of Trees, Sutta 75, translated by Bhikkhu. Then the wanderer Vajragotha approached the Blessed One and said to him, Master Gotama, I have heard. The ascetic Gotama says, alms should be given only to me, not to others. Alms should be given only to my disciples, not to the disciples of others. Only what is given to me is very fruitful, not what is given to others. Only what is given to my disciples is very fruitful, not what is given to the disciples of others. Do those who speak thus state what has been said by Master Gotama and not misrepresent him with what is contrary to fact? Do they explain in accordance with the Dharma so that they would not incur any reasonable criticism or ground for censure? For we do not want to misrepresent Master Gotama. Those, Vajra, who say, the ascetic Gotama says, alms should be given only to me. Only what is given to my disciples is fruitful, not what is given to the disciples of others. Do not state what has been said by me, but misrepresent me with what is untrue and contrary to fact. One who prevents another from giving alms creates an obstruction and stumbling block for three people. What three? He creates an obstruction to the donor's acquiring merit, to the recipient's gaining a gift, and already he has maimed and injured himself. One who prevents another from giving alms creates an obstruction and stumbling block for these three people. But Vajra, I say that one acquires merit even if one throws away dishwashing water in a refuse dump or cesspit with the thought, may the living beings here sustain themselves with this. How much more then does one acquire merit when one gives to human beings? However, I say that what is given to one of virtuous behavior is more fruitful than what is given to an immoral person. And the most worthy recipient is one who has abandoned five factors and possesses five factors. What five factors has he abandoned? Sensual desire, ill will, dullness and drowsiness, restlessness and remorse and doubt. These are the five factors that he has abandoned. And what five factors does he possess? The virtuous behavior, concentration, wisdom, liberation, and knowledge and vision of liberation of one beyond training. These are the five factors that he possesses. It is in such a way, I say, that what is given to one who has abandoned five factors and possesses five factors is very fruitful. This is from the Anguttara Nikaya, Book of Threes, Sutta 75, translated by Bhikkhu Bodhi.
Friends, Vajragotha Sutta talks about the merits of giving. What counts in giving if we were to have more merits? So entire sutta is concentrated on the concept of giving and merits. Before we elaborate the sutta, something should be said about this person, Vajragotha. Vajragotha is not his name, rather it is a clan name, a name of a Brahmin clan. In many suttas, we come across, he comes to the Buddha and asks various kinds of questions. In fact, he belongs to another religious group popularly called Paribhajaka. These are the people who go from one place to another place and meet in different religious teachers and discuss the doctrines. So he is known as Wanderer Vachagotha. There are a quite number of discourses which are very interesting and important discussions with this particular person. However, in this present sutta, as we already heard, Vachagotha comes to the Buddha and he says something that he heard people were talking. He said, "Venerable Sir, I heard people are talking that Buddha says alms should be given only to the Buddha and his disciples. What is given to Buddha and his disciples bear great merits. Alms should not be given to the other religious groups, and what is given to the other religious groups does not bear great fruits. Is it true that you said such a thing?" In other terms, Vachagotha is asking whether the Buddha discouraged giving to other religious groups other than the Buddha himself and his disciples. So Buddha simply said, "This is not the case. Those who said so, they definitely have misrepresented me." And then Buddha went on elaborating it further. And he said, if anyone prevent another person practicing giving, that person is creating a stumbling block, impediment, obstruction to three people. First of all, he prevent a donor making some merits. Second, he prevent a recipient receiving a gift. Third, he injure himself spiritually and create bad karma. Now, this point is very important. So let's spend a little bit of time to understand these three points the Buddha talked about here. The first point is, if someone were to prevent another one practicing giving, in that case, he prevent a donor making some merits. Dana is one of great meritorious action. In every religion, dana is highly praised. Looking at from the Buddhist point of view, dana has four important aspects in our spiritual cultivation. First of all, dana purifies our mind by reducing the defilements. When we practice dana, little by little, we reduce attachment. We have so much greed and attachment, and that can be slowly reduced by giving. So giving help us to reduce our attachment. Not only that, when we give, we also reduce our hatred, ill will, jealousy, anger, and such other defilements. So in this case, when we practice giving, we reduce our attachment and other defilements like such as hatred and related negative destructive forces. So in this case, it purifies the mind, reduce the defilement. In second aspect, when we start giving, in our mind we develop virtues. In Buddhist teachings, you are always encouraged to give with compassion, give with goodwill, friendship, with a generous heart. So whenever we practice giving, wholesome qualities like compassion, empathy, love, friendship, such kind of beautiful virtues become prominent in our mind. So this is the development of virtue. Thirdly, when we practice in this way, in one hand, the negative defilements are reduced. On the other hand, positive, constructive, wholesome virtues are increased. Such a person can easily practice sila. In other words, practicing dana eventually leads to righteous way of behavior. In Mangala Sutta, the Buddha, when he talks about great blessings, he said, dānañca dhammacaryāca. Practicing dāna eventually leads to dhammacarya, righteous way of behavior, upholding righteous principles. For example, someone who gives out of compassion and goodwill to reduce suffering from the lives of other human beings, such a person is cultivating generosity and compassion, he will easily refrain from killing, he will easily refrain from stealing from another one, he will easily refrain from any other kind of unwholesome action which create miseries and sufferings. So dana also leads to sila, righteous conduct, behavior. Any human being who has these two aspects, dana and sila, and his spiritual foundation is suitable for the development of bhavana, cultivation of the mind. So dana, sila, bhavana, these three are like stepping stones towards enlightenment. Dana and sila together create necessary mental foundations for the mind to be cultivated through meditation practice. The fourth aspect of dana from the Buddhist point of view here, dana is a meritorious action. It produces karmically productive result, beneficial result, which ripens as pleasant, favorable rebirths. So those who practice dana in this cycle of existence, they will be reborn into well-to-do families. They will achieve great wealth and prosperity. They can even be born in heavenly realms. So karmically, dana is a great meritorious action which produce a lot of merits. So Buddha says, if someone prevent another person practicing dana, that person prevent another human being developing all these aspects. He prevent another human being reducing his defilements, cultivating his virtue and leading a righteous way of life and eventually making more merits. Then the Buddha also pointed out, when you prevent another person practicing giving, you are also preventing a recipient receiving a gift. Dana is a socially beneficial action. And if you look at the world, those human beings who achieve immense wealth, prosperity, and some of these human beings, they generously spend their wealth for the well-being and happiness of millions of other human beings who are poor and destitute. Some of these great, generous human beings, they do a lot of philanthropic works like building hospitals, schools, old folk homes, and many other such institutes for the well-being and happiness of many in the human society. Even in Singapore, there are a number of hospitals and schools built by these great people. And there are thousands of people, or perhaps millions of people, who need our help. These are the needy and poor people. They do not have even basic human facilities or needs. So there are social and welfare organizations who are dedicated to serve these people. So if we prevent another human being practicing dana, we are preventing this aspect. We are preventing these needy and poor people receiving the gifts. On the other hand, every religious organization that functions in the society that provide religious services and mental well-being and happiness and helps to reduce a lot of stress and tension from human life, and these organizations will eventually dwindle away and they will not sustain in the society. So that is what the Buddha mean here. On the other hand, those who prevent giving, and they also prevent a recipient receiving the gifts. Thirdly, furthermore, he himself injure spiritually. What will happen when you prevent another human being practicing dana? In the first place, you are the one who creating the injury in your spiritual life. Someone might prevent another human being practicing giving because of jealousy. You do not want so and so to receive something, so you discourage another person giving that particular thing to that human being out of jealousy. Or you have anger towards certain people or certain group of people, so you prevent a particular person contributing towards that group because of anger or because of resentment. Or you yourself have a lot of greed and stinginess. You wish that gift should be given to you instead of another person, so you have an ulterior motive might prevent another person practicing giving. Whatever the reason, what you are doing here is damaging yourself. You are becoming more stingy, greedy, self-centered, and you are full of defilements, and you create negative, destructive, unwholesome forces within you. And the most importantly here, you are creating a bad karma, unwholesome action. When you prevent one human being practicing a charity, you are creating a negative karma for yourself. Eventually, these karmic results will lead you to be reborn in a lower status. If you were to be born among the humankind, you will be very miserable, poor, destitute type of human beings. Since you prevented other human beings receiving the gifts, when you are born in such a pitiable conditions, you yourself will not receive anything. Even those good people who practice charity may not be able to help you. Such is the power of negative karmic forces. So, the Buddha said, if someone prevent another person practicing giving, that person create these stumbling blocks to three people. This is a very important point to be noted. Then the Buddha says something very interesting, and that's he says these words: Vaccha, I say that one acquires merit even if one throws away dishwashing water in a refuse dump or cesspit with the thought, may the living beings here sustain themselves with this. So Buddha is pointing out here something very important and something very remarkable. Means, making merit is not a difficult thing if you know how to do it. In this particular case, when you throw away those washing water from your cups and plates, there might be tiny particles of foods. And when you throw such water, and if you were to have a thinking that may those tiny living beings feed on these foods and sustain, even that action can become a meritorious action. And he say, what more about feeding a human being? Feeding a human being is more meritoriously fruitful and beneficial. What Buddha is trying to point out is, here, your intention is the most important factor when you give. In Nibbedika Sutta, when Buddha defined the karma, he said these words: Chetanaham bhikkave kammang vadami, chetayitva kammang karoti, kayena vacha manasa. Monks, I define karma as intention. Having intention, one will do the actions with thoughts, words, and body. So here, intention is the most important point when we make merits. So every day can be a day that we make merits. If we can exercise our intention in a wholesome way. Suppose someone is carrying something heavy and that person's both hands are occupied and you happen to be near the door, and with a smiling face, with compassion and having a lot of wholesome thoughts in your mind, if you were to open the door with pleasant mind, that action itself is a meritorious action because your thoughts are counted. Even when you give a cup of water, a cup of tea to your wife or husband or somebody else, in that particular case, if you can have thoughts of love, compassion, goodwill, friendship, and with smiling face, with both hands respectfully, if you can give this and maintain wholesome thoughts in your mind, that action can be meritorious. So any action can be meritorious as long as we maintain a wholesome intention and do it properly. So that is a very important point. However, so Buddha said, even giving something like in this particular case, throwing this dishwashing water to a pool and thinking that may those living beings sustain on them, even such action can be meritorious, then no need to talk about other actions like feeding a human being, it can be more greatly fruitful and meritorious. However, Buddha emphasized something very, very important. And this point can be seen in many other discourses. The Buddha again and again emphasized this particular point when it comes to giving. What is this point? And this is what is it. However, I say that what is given to one of virtuous behavior is more fruitful than what is given to an immoral person. So this point is emphasized. It means even feeding an animal is greatly fruitful. And even feeding an immoral human being is still more fruitful. Nevertheless, giving to a virtuous person is more fruitful than giving to immoral person. In Dakkhina Vibhanga Sutta, when the Buddha talks about giving, there are different degree of giving and how meritorious a power is acquired. In that case, the Buddha also has elaborated that giving to an animal is still fruitful, a good karma. It can be more fruitful when you give to a human being, and even if that human being is immoral, it still can be more fruitful. But it still can be more fruitful if you can give it to a virtuous human being. So in this way, he goes further and further and to explain, higher is the spiritual qualities of a person. Here, spiritual qualities means virtue. And then, of course, the power of the merit is also greater. In Issatta Sutta, we also come across a similar incident. King Kosala, he approached the Buddha and he asked this simple question. Venerable sir, to whom should I give the gift? The Buddha said, to whoever you like, as long as you are happy and you have confidence in that person, you can give. Then the king asked another question, second question. But Venerable sir, if I want to have more merits, to whom should I give the gift? Then Buddha said these words. He said, King, these two questions are totally separate. To whom should you give the gift is one question. And by giving to whom you can acquire more merits is another question, totally different. Then he further explained, giving to those who uprooted all the defilements and achieve perfect enlightenment, and these are the highest in the sense of the suitability of the recipients, and by giving to virtuous human beings you will receive more merits. So he emphasized the point here, by giving to virtuous human beings than immoral human being, you will acquire more merits. However, this is not the only sutta where it was mentioned, and there are other places as well. Now, come back to Vajjagotta Sutta. So in the sutta, the Buddha emphasized that giving to the enlightened human beings who discarded five hindrances completely and achieve five other excellent qualities. These are Sila, Samadhi, Panya, Vimutti, Vimutti Jnana Darshana. The enlightened human beings, they are endowed with great virtue, great concentration, great wisdom, and they are completely liberated, fully liberated from all the kinds of suffering and miseries. And then they are full of knowledge and vision of liberation. So these are the perfect human beings who are completely free from all the human defilements or divine defilements, and they are full of compassion and wisdom. So these are the noble human beings the Buddha talk about as the highest field of merits. If one were to give something to these noble community of the individuals that bear the greatest merits. In Ratana Sutta, the Buddha pointed out, Tedakkineya Sugatassa Savaka Etesu Dinnani Mahapalani. Whoever gives something to these noble disciples of the Buddha, who are arahants, fully enlightened ones, such a giving bear greatest fruits of merits. So what count in giving? In Dakkhina Vibhanga Sutta, the Buddha talks about four types of giving. There he says, in one case, the giver is immoral, but the receiver is a virtuous human being. In this case, when you give, there is merits because the receiver is a virtuous person. The second situation, the giver is virtuous, but the receiver is immoral. In that case also, there is merits because the giver is virtuous. Third case, both giver and the receiver are immoral. In such a case, giving does not produce karmic benefits, wholesome karmic benefits. And the fourth case is the ideal. Both giver and the receiver are virtuous. So elaborating this point in the sutta itself says, Yo silava silavante su dadati danang dhammena laddang supasanna chitto. Abhisaddhang kamma palang ularang tangve danang vipulappalanti brumi. So there are certain conditions to be fulfilled if we want to make giving a great meritorious action. This is what is counted in giving. First, yo silava. First of all, you have to be virtuous. You must uphold righteous principles. Being righteous human being, upholding righteous qualities, upholding precepts, then silavantesu dadati dana, you should give to another person or group of persons who are also upholding virtue. So being virtuous, give to those who are virtuous. These are two necessary conditions. Dhammena laddang, third condition is you must give something that you achieved in a righteous way. Whatever the gift that you are going to give, that should be achieved in a righteous way, wholesome way. Without harming living beings, you must earn that gift, that money, in a pure way, in a wholesome way. Dhammena laddam. Fourth one, supasanna chitto, must have a pure mind. Before you give, you must maintain the purity of your mind. Do not let defilements to take control of your mind. While you are giving, give with pure minds, give with compassion, goodwill, respect. After you give away, maintain the purity of the mind. So this is called supasanna citta, purity of the mind, with a pleasant mind. Then, the fifth one, abhisaddhaṃ kamma palaṃ ularaṃ. You give with the belief of kamma and its result. When you have confidence, faith, belief in action, then these five factors together, as the Buddha said, Tang ve danang vipula palanti bhumi, such a giving is meritoriously fruitful, bear great results. So these are the few things that we need to think when we give. First of all, you need to be virtuous, and you also need to give to those who are virtuous. And then whatever you are going to give is to be achieved in a righteous way. And when you give, you must maintain the purity of your mind before, while, and give it after giving. And fifth, you also must have belief in karma and its result. And when accompanied by all these facts, that is a great meritorious action of giving. Okay, this is enough as a talk, so we can have Q&A.